Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Well, people running out of restaurants screaming. Like,
yes. Let me ask you
this. Yeah, I saw like Godzilla movie type scenes of people running through the streets.
If you get that message, I mean, are you going over to the... What's your plan?
You play it cool. My usual.
It's got a bunker at the club.
Oh, you mean tone.
I go into my house.
Yeah, the rich people
I don't know what to do.
Do you start pouring Johnny Walker Blue and
no,
saying
no? I mean, I don't honestly know what to do.
You'd probably be relaxed like usual in those situations.
I don't think so, but I don't know what I would do.
You'd call Wilbon.
Yeah, I would.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All right, so I'm in day four of a cold and day two of a terrible, terrible cold. So my voice is bad. Michael is here. Michael is going to do the reads today. Barry Sverluga is here. Tori Clark is here. Nigel is going to do the news and run the board. Now, apropos of that open about the thing in Hawaii. So yesterday at PTI, we were talking about that. Because, I mean, it's a group of people. And you say, what would you do? So Daniel Light, who works for us, Daniel Light says, and he's a graduate of Maryland, and he lives in Rockville, grew up in Rockville. And he said, I would get on 270. I'd just get on 270. And I said, well, what does that mean?
It ends.
You would aimlessly get on. He said, I would get on 270, get out of here. And I said, do you really think that, because we're the assumption is that the missile is coming from North Korea.
Right.
I mean, that you have to play the game and assume it comes from North Korea.
That's right.
So do you really think from 7 to 9,000 miles away, they'd be so pinpoint accurate that they wouldn't blow up 270, that it would actually go right into the White House? What are you talking? I mean, like, what would you do? I don't know what I would do, but I wouldn't get in the car and go up 270.
No.
I wouldn't do that.
I'd hope I was in Pyeongchang, the safest place on the planet.
Right, because it goes over your head.
Right over your head.
Yeah. Look, there it is.
What would you do?
I'd run to the basement and go, bleeping kids who took the stuff out of my emergency kit that I had prepared years ago.
Right, I'd just stay in your house.
The whiskey I drank somewhere along the way.
What are you going to do?
Get up on my feet. I would actually. We have a small little bathroom in the basement that would be perfectly safe. It's a little underground.
Are we gonna,
perfectly safe from what? Perfectly safe from a thermonuclear missile?
You're going to die if you go up 270 anyway.
Right, but the notion that you'd be perfectly safe in a bathtub underground,
I think,
is
what
crazy.
What you need people to say is, well, I would go to Chatter because
I would come down.
I would
have
a
missile party.
Last meal.
Right,
yeah, exactly.
We'd have a missile party. We would be like the Eismans and Schultzes who write on a napkin, "Dear Mr. Tony, we are sorry we missed you. Hope to return for breakfast someday soon so we can catch the show. Long time littles. Very glad we finally made it to Chatter." So it's the Eismans are Brian and Jen and Cameron, Aiden and Peyton. And the Schultzes are Dan and Paula and Evan and JP.
Nice.
That's what you should do. You should come here. I guess we'd have specials.
You definitely would have.
Happy hour.
Missile specials.
Yeah.
Because how long would it take to get here? It would take a while, right?
The missile?
Yeah.
No, 47 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you got a time for a drink.
Yeah. So maybe time for two.
Yeah.
Maybe throw one down early.
And a shot.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe go to Burning Tree because you could probably just walk right on.
The notion of I would get in the car and go up 270. Yeah.
Get on 66.
Makes
go to the basement.
We're at Chatter, as Barry so nicely referred. We're at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue and Jennifer Streets Northwest in Friendship Heights. We are open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We are full service, and we are for profit. And there's a lot of ways you open a show, and I could talk about my cold at length and everything I've done, and I could talk about taking the dog out. My dog, for a very sort of ferocious big dog, is the slowest walking dog in the United States of America. The morning walk takes like 35 minutes to go two blocks.
Just strolling.
Because the dog sniffs and re-sniffs and re-sniffs. We could, and maybe later in the show I'll do that. But I'm watching the early news on Channel 4, the local early news, and they cut in with something coming up on the Today Show. And they show a picture of two people who look like crawlbacks from the 70s, husband and wife. The guy's got the Dutch boy haircut. The woman, they just look like you knew them 40 years ago. And it turns out that in their middle-class suburban home in California, in a development on a street, so they're not in the woods. They're on the street that you're on. They're on that street. They have 13 or 14 children held in captivity from ages 3 to 29. Let me go through that again. From ages 3 to 29, the police come in because one of the kids escapes. This is that this is that thing from Ohio 3 or 4 years
That's
ago.
Right, yep. Yeah.
What was the line? Was the line where he said, you know, You don't see a white girl run up and hug a black
right,
man.
Right, yeah, that's right.
You know,
that's
and
right,
then right. They did the whole rap song about that.
That's right.
When she escaped, one of the children escaped, called 911. The police and child services come in. They find 13 or 14 children from the ages of 3 to 20 to 29. These are adults.
But they thought they were kids.
Thought they were kids because they were so small and so malnourished. And this is in... That's all these kids in this house. They're not all in the house all the time. That the people are individually being held on $9 million bond.
Individually. Okay,
they're never going to get that. You got to put up 10%. That's $900,000. They're never going to get. They're not being on. Don't worry. They won't be out.
Well, the kids could chip in.
The kids hold a bake sale. Yeah. They hold a bake sale. This sort of mass torture. Okay, so what is the first thing you think of? Because they interview neighbors, and neighbors go, "Who knew?" And that's right. That's right. You don't, right?
Yes.
Do you know what your neighbors do?
No.
Well, in your case, your neighbors know that their neighbors have live camels every once in a while.
I've noticed some cameras have gone up, pointed in the direction of our house recently. You know, we've talked about this for the last 20 hours, whatever, my husband. Yes, if the house next door had 13 skinny, pale children, we would be paying attention.
Okay, but
we would be paying attention, and I would go over there with some cookies just to check and see what was going
on. But did they ever, did they parade the children out in public like that? I guess they did.
Well, the neighbors said that they saw some of the kids and they seemed very shy and very quiet and
skinny. But is that, so they
said
they looked, here's one that says they were thin but not excessively thin. I thought they were very active as a family. I mean, I think
these neighbors are trying to cover up for themselves.
I don't know.
Some of them shackled.
Yes.
I mean, I think if you are at some point, it is not your business, right? I mean, unless...
I disagree completely.
Wow.
I absolutely believe some of these neighbors knew something weird was going on, and they just chose not to get involved, not to get engaged.
Do you think they knew that in Ohio, where those four women were being held
captive? No, they were never seen, right?
Yeah, right.
By the way, the phrase was dead giveaway.
Dead giveaway. Oh. Dead giveaway.
Would you like to hear the song?
Yeah, it's dead giveaway. It's a great song.
Walk me through again what happened this afternoon.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Then I gave
away. Great. The song is great. I remember. So we were all horrified by that.
Horrified.
This is your own chill. What are you doing?
Yeah.
This is these things, the Elizabeth Smart things in your life, things that happen. You go, but they're, again, they're not in the woods. They're on your block.
Right.
This looked like a nice neighborhood.
The guy was making $110,000
as an engineer, right?
Yeah.
From Northrop Grumman.
How about the fact
what?
That this couple also ran a school, quote unquote?
Well,
can you imagine being the people who sent their kids to their school?
No. I thought it was the name of the home school for their own kids.
No,
they
had their own school, and this year there were 6 kids enrolled.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yes, principal of the Sandcastle Day School, K-12. They ran from the couple's home, so that's convenient. The school opened in 2011. In the 2016-17 year, it had 6 total students, 1 each in 5th, 6th, 8th, 9th,
Are the shackles
10,
included
12.
In tuition?
They must have, so they must have seen the other children.
One would think.
3 to 29. So are we going to learn that there are children from the children?
Well, there could be, right?
Are we going to learn that?
Oh, that's right.
Out of the realm of possibility.
No,
when this happens?
I just had not. It had
no.
Not
the
thought
three
of that,
the 3 year old could clearly be right. Yeah. Wow.
What are we going to learn? And do you know, like? Okay, on one side, I know my neighbors. I mean, I say hello. On the other side, I bought the house. I got the little house. But this is a recurring theme on this show that you don't really know your neighbors.
No.
Do you know your neighbors? Are you pals with your neighbors?
No. I mean, someone moved in recently. I'm happy to say hi. I don't know.
And
them,
if you found them. Out 3 years from now that those people
I would
are,
be very surprised.
Was a spy?
I
was
would
a
be...
spy? Would you be surprised?
No.
Around
spy?
Here,
no.
Never. You'd never be surprised around here. Somebody's a spy.
Right.
No, I moved into a new house this past March. And in the first 6 weeks, everyone makes the overture, hi, you know, welcome to the neighborhood, let us know if you need anything.
Please don't come in.
Yeah, but they see
you
that.
Stand in the vestibule.
They see you have a, you know, pregnant wife, they want to know about the baby, all
Rosemary's
that.
Rosemary's baby.
And then once you're in the neighborhood, no one looks at you again. No one looks at you until it's Halloween, a holiday, you just do the
okay,
polite nod.
Okay, we have a game-changing block party that I feel like
In the summer.
We have it in the fall, actually, and I feel like that
you block
has
the streets.
You block the traffic. Streets. You get a moon bounce for the kids, and I do feel like that has. I make more eye contact with my neighbors now than I did.
So if you had a neighbor who had 14 children from ages 3 to 29, and they say, "Can we use your moon bounce?"
I mean, I'd be like, that's a lot of heavy lifting for the moon bounce.
Yeah,
but,
you're sort of pale. Your children,
but they were skinny.
Yeah, they're very skinny.
But not too skinny. Yeah.
I just sort of realized I might be the neighbor that my neighbors are suspicious of.
That's actually a good point. That's some self-awareness right there.
You
did have a cat.
Yeah,
so, Tori, you suspect that people thought something was untoward.
Yep. And they just thought, I'm not going to get involved.
Boy, I disagree.
She's terrible.
I think you can...
Did you see the footage of the guy, the Elvis impersonator, who...
They remarried each other every year. They went for parties.
The Elvis
they took all the children. They dressed the children in the same clothes, it appeared.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Are you going to find out that this woman sat at a sewing machine and made all the dresses? And by the way, it did look like all the children were girls. Because from the
it looked,
There's a few of the haircut guys in the background.
Can you imagine being the staffer at the Today Show who goes running in and says, "Wait till you see the video I got they found the marriage." How did they find that? I guess
easy to find all these things, why wasn't it easy to find out that they had shackled these children in the house?
Those lines around the kids' wrists at the vow renewal should have been a summer.
And you think you would know if this happened on your street?
Yep.
Boy.
I don't know. If it happened four houses down from me, I wouldn't
know. No chance.
Correct. I would not know.
I agree.
Michael, would you know?
No chance.
No, I just don't think. I think people stay away from other people's business.
You're clearly not as nosy as I am.
I think that's what it gets down to. Yes.
This is a totally fascinating story. The other fascinating story today that we will lead with is CVS. CVS is the largest drugstore in the country. They probably have thousands and thousands and thousands of outlets everywhere. They're now saying on their beauty products, they are no longer going to retouch models. Now, they don't retouch the models. They take this from an ad agency that retouches the models. They're going to show you the models with their imperfections. They're going to not retouch the color of their skin, not retouch any marks on their face, not retouch wrinkles. Will they, as a result, everybody says this is great, but will they go right down the drain because Maybelline will still retouch, and when you go to buy the products, you go, I don't want to look like her. I want to look like her. What do you think?
There are things that impact my life, and there are these things.
Right. It's a lead story on the news.
What cracked me up was in announcing this big major announcement, the Step Forward for Women, if that's what it was, the pictures they used of the model with the Photoshop photo and the unphotoshopped
photo.
Both
beautiful.
Both beautiful very beyond words. Difference. And I promise you, any model who is showing up with these things is going to show up. And they're going to do hair and makeup, and that's 95%
of
the game.
Of course they are.
95% of the game.
Of course they are. Does this strike you as a big deal?
Not at all. I think it's a good gesture, and I think it's a gesture and stops at that. I'd be interested to look at this 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, and years down the line to see if this is affecting different pockets of their targeted audience. If they're primarily working with models of color, or if there are different beauty products that are going to actually increase their sales. But I think it becomes a wash. You're so ingrained to buy the products that you're going to buy, even if you see
CVS products because they're cheaper. They're cheaper. They're significantly cheaper.
What is? I mean, it'd be interesting to know what percentage of CVS's business is their beauty products. I think of it as a place I get my drugs, right?
Or
shampoo and whatever. Right. Are they really moving a lot of their own?
I don't know. Every once in a while, you see a soap company or something like that, and they put models on the air who are plump.
Dove campaign?
Yeah, not particularly attractive. And you say, well, that's good because people actually look like this.
Yeah.
But when you go to buy a product, you don't want to look like that.
That's right.
Yeah.
You want to look like Cindy Crawford when you buy the product.
Dove did that with great hoorah, and I don't know that we ever saw the results, as in did they sell more or less?
Don't know.
I guess if I've got an issue with this, it says that they will end this by 2020 rather.
So I think they'll have fixed everything by then.
Well, I'm just like, can't you?
Everybody will be beautiful by then.
I'm like, can't you do it like now?
Everybody
stop doing it.
I thought that the bravest thing I ever saw on television, and I remember talking about this about 3-4 years ago, was Hoda Kotb.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hoda Kotb showed herself before any of the makeup went on with her hair totally frizzed out.
Really?
Hoda Kotb looked like the creature from the Blue Lagoon at that point. And then you saw what they did to her. And she's the best thing on TV. That was so brave, I felt. Because I don't think most people would do that.
Oprah did something like that, or President Winfrey to you and me.
She did a thing
because she's always on the cover of a magazine. She should be, and she always looks spectacular.
Yeah.
And she did a huge spread once where she showed how she starts her day and how many people and how many hours and how many techniques and tactics it takes to make her look that good. Because she says,
I love going through the aisle at the supermarket and say, oh, Oprah's on the cover of O this month.
Most of us look terrible all the time. And that's the way it should be.
Yes, of course.
We'll take a break.
You do know that you're unsightly.
Howard Cosell saying, you know that you're unsightly, don't you? It's a combination British and Cosellian accent. When we come back, Jason Lockenfora will join us. I am Tony Kornheiser. Michael has a read.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All right, this is the Seat Geek read. Dad's a little under the weather, so I'll do my best to fill in. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated and confusing, but there is a better way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. Whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out, or need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. See, I read that word for word, Dad.
But you do.
It's not that hard.
But you do, but I'm just saying, you telling the truth.
This is the bolded section that you tend to gloss over.
I do.
So I made a mistake a few months ago. Les Mis was in D.C., and I'd been tracking the tickets on my phone, but I just missed it. So now make sure you don't miss it when you're tracking something on your phone. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sales to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Right now, in D.C., I'm looking at tickets for the Villanova-Georgetown game. So I'm looking at lower bowl. They call these the green light tickets. So, you know, $80 gets you a great ticket. I'm not going to go, but I'm tracking it. So,
you know, it doesn't cost 80 when they play Alabama A&M.
Well, you can go in the 400s and you can get a seat for under $15.
Yeah.
So make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Call to action, must read. Best of all, listeners of my dad's show get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code TONY today. That's promo code TONY for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
It's a great 60-second ad in 2 minutes. That was really good.
Nicely done. Very nicely done.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Jess Carbajal sends this in on behalf of his band. La Buena Muerta, which means the good death.
The good death.
I don't know. I don't know that I'd have named my band the good death.
I kind of like that.
It's a death theme. We had death list yesterday.
Yeah.
Now we've got the good death.
The good death is what you're experiencing right now.
Yeah. Yes. This is called Planet Nine. Let me also say happy birthday to Badi from DeMatha High School, who's sitting out there, who hoped Aldridge would be here today, because Aldridge, a DeMatha graduate.
A big Tuesday person.
A big Tuesday person. Aldridge and Maskey, DeMatha grads on the Washington
Post. There you go.
Jason Lockenfora, who knows Aldridge and knows Maskey very, very well, who of course worked at the Washington Post, because everybody here either worked at the Washington Post or subscribes.
Or still works there.
Yeah, Jason of CBS. please forgive my cough.
No worries.
Yeah. So I got a whole lot of questions here, and we have to start with the most important play in football this year, and probably one of the 5 most important plays or 10 most important plays in the history of football, and the worst play ever by a safety, ever by a safety. How do you explain the Marcus Williams play, Jason?
Preordained. It was written up by the football gods. It's a tough one. I mean, in that situation, I didn't play a whole lot of defensive back, Tone. I'll be completely honest with that, but I've been around the game for a little while, and it's pretty obvious what sort of job number one is there in that situation, which is to have as many people behind the ball as possible. The ball cannot get behind you. The man with the ball cannot get behind you and then cannot have a straight line unencumbered into the end zone as time expires. Look, we're going to – a lot of people will harp on that young man and the mistake he made, and he made a mistake. He didn't use the boundary as his friend. He did not stay behind the ball. He did not do a wrap-up form tackle. He did not take a penalty, do anything you possibly can to keep that guy out of the end zone right there. He, you know, he left his feet, he launched, and he managed to take out a couple of his buddies in the process.
Yes.
But I don't understand why there wasn't more help. I don't understand why there weren't more people just sitting back, you know, somewhere around the 20-yard line, just literally there to keep it, you know, keep somebody as close to field goal range as possible. You have to give up something.
They're not trying to score on that play. They can't score on that play.
No, they're trying to set up a field goal.
You have to go all the way deep. You have to be deep. And what happens is when Stephon Diggs goes up, catch or no catch, if he catches it, you push him down inbounds, the game is over.
Yeah.
The game is over. That's the worst. Honestly, it's the worst play I've ever seen. I mean, I'll forget his name in a while, but it's the worst play I've ever seen. You can't score on that.
It's pretty egregious. It's pretty egregious on you know, it's egregious on a schematic level. It's egregious on an execution level. And that is obviously one of the more devastating ways you'll ever see an NFL season end in real time. I mean, that's unreal. But you know what? Look, I mean, hats off to the Vikings. I mean, they dominated the first half. They hung on for dear life, stayed close enough, and then, you know, they got a miracle. Hats off to Case Keenum, who made big plays. He had a turnover that certainly helped sway the game, but I thought played pretty good football, all things considered, for that, you know, being the first playoff game of his sort of Cinderella year and his coming out party. And it's not exactly like he came up small or anything like that. And I mean, I just, this whole idea of covering a Super Bowl where the home team is in it, like, I'm totally down with it. Like, I've covered a lot of Super Bowls, they're all kind of the same. The idea that you're in this city for, you know, 8 days, and literally the whole city is going bonkers every day because their team is actually in it, and people are trying to get, you know, tickets, and maybe it feels more like a regular season or a regular playoff game than it does, you know, a corporate event for America's, you know, CEOs and whatever, economic elites, would be pretty wild. I mean, I think it would be pretty nuts.
Do you think, and I think this is an important question, do you think Minnesota is a better team than New Orleans, so we don't have to feel bad that somehow New Orleans was robbed? Because I think Minnesota is every bit as good a team as New Orleans is.
I thought that game was a flip. I thought 5 points was too much. I didn't think it would end by five. I thought it would end more like it would have had they kept Diggs in bound, a 1 or 2 point game either way. And if people want to give the edge to Minnesota because they're home and they earn that right to be home through the regular season, then I absolutely, you know, understand that. I kind of thought New Orleans would win, maybe not because they're a better team per se, but just because of Drew Brees and he might make something special happen.
Which is what happened.
Yeah.
It's exactly what happened.
I mean, look, Minnesota runs the ball well enough. The offensive line has been excellent. Case Keenum's a top 10 MVP candidate for me. Thielen and Diggs get it done all the time, and the tight end is more than good enough.
That's right.
And it's good arguably team. The best defense in football. So,
it's a good team.
I mean, if someone – look, they lost two quarterbacks, Tony, and they're still playing. Like, I mean, think about that. Who goes this far with the third-string quarterback? It doesn't happen.
Let me shift gears and ask for another explanation. Can you explain to me how the Steelers can call that onside kick and how on repeated fourth and ones – the Steelers, with a 6'6", 270-pound quarterback, turn and hand the ball off to somebody else who continually goes wide. Can you? That to me is terrible coaching. Terrible.
I mean, look, to me there was coaching malpractice going on in a lot of these games. I mean, you go back to the start of the playoffs, a lot of teams won despite themselves, including, you know, the Mike Mularkey Titans in the first round, who he promptly got fired, you know, as soon as he lost a game anyway. Obviously what Kansas City did, you know, and Andy Reid and abandoning the run game. I mean, we've seen some bizarre decisions made in a lot of these games. And look, this isn't even Monday morning quarterbacking. We're all sitting in the studio on the fourth and runs with the pitch play. And we're like, they have physical corners who get activated in the run game. It's a very fast swarming defense. Why are you pitching it out wide? Like, and then, you know, the second time, it's like they're not sneaking now either. It befuddled people. Now, look, I don't know that we'll ever know exactly what happened, or at least not yet. You know, was a sneak called and Ben just didn't want to do a sneak? Did Ben have options? Did Ben audible out of a sneak? You know, I don't know. And then the onside kick with when you're outside the 2 minute warning,
2:18 to go with two timeouts,
plus the 2 minute warning, and you know they're going to run the ball three times, and if you can't stop them at home to get it back, then okay, shame on you. But you don't just concede that we might not be able to do that. So let's hand you 45 yards in field position, right? 40 to 45 yards, almost insane. Half the field. Let's just give it to you and put you a first down away plus a little change from kicking a field goal that effectively ends the game and forces, you know, another onside kick, forces the Steelers to even at best have to onside kick again to try to clear that margin. It was baffling. I mean, it really made no sense to me whatsoever. And I mean, look, when the answer to the question is, well, we weren't sure we could stop them, then you probably made a mistake. Like, if that's the best you can do to defend your position,
it's terrible
to kick there and concede on a small margin play, and you had enough time and enough ability to control the
clock.
You're
the Steelers. Hold them.
You didn't have to put it on your
kick. Make Bortles go 80 yards. Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy. All right, one more thing that I need to explain, and we'll touch on all again.
I can't do this either, but I'll try.
Can you explain why Matt Ryan only looks for Julio Jones? Only, all the time. Only.
Well, certainly in
and he's great. Julio Jones is great.
In tight situations, they got to be too much of a one-trick pony. I don't think there was ever a whole lot of belief that Sarkisian was operating that thing to anything close to the level they were used to with Kyle Shanahan. I documented it back in October. I had people in that building saying, like, they should maybe let Matt Schaub call the plays, the backup quarterback, because he knows this offense better than Sark. And if they're insistent on running this offense, even though the coordinator isn't as steeped in it as the backup quarterback, then this thing's probably never going to take off. And it didn't. And he got these sort of, you know, votes of confidence by default at times. But watch the team week in, week out. The weeks they did do anything, you know, really offensively, they had to run the ball extraordinarily well. And that didn't happen every week either. I mean, Matt Ryan was 1 for 18 on attempts to Julio Jones in the end zone this year.
Wow,
I mean,
people
knew where the ball was going. It was well defended. And to me, the throw to Jones, I can sort of live with. You'd rather, but not in that spot. Not when you roll out.
He's going to be out of bounds if he catches it.
You're taking a mobile quarterback who no one thinks is a dual threat to run, and you cut his field off. Matt Ryan's at his best when he can go read one, read two, read three, and then from the pocket still hit read three or read four. Why don't you have multiple crossers in the middle of the field where you make it a little easier for him, where you use the entire field of what's already confined space because you're in the red zone, and don't make the boundary your enemy. You're not throwing a fade or anything into the back of the end zone. You want them to have to defend your best players in space. I mean, you know he's only throwing to the right side when he rolls right. He only has two options now instead of potentially four, and his best option is boxed in with the boundary not his friend. That's, again, I'll say coaching malpractice. There's no reason to go there in that situation. And, I mean, I think there's going to be blood in Atlanta. Anybody who knows Arthur Blank at all knows that his blood can boil and his temper can run very hot. And his last two playoff defeats, those are things you don't get over. You're paying a quarterback $25 million a year and a receiver $15 million a year, and you're getting beat by a dude making the vet minimum on the other side. Foles, you get one touchdown out of that outfit with the season on the line? I think there's going to be some changes in Atlanta.
I love to see him on the sidelines when he loses because I think he's a preener. Right? I think he's a total preener. Okay, two-part question. How about Jalen Ramsey mouthing off in Jacksonville, and do you give what sort of shot do you give Jacksonville going into New England and winning that game?
I just it's it, I understand that this was a big win for the Jaguars, and I get it. Like, they feel like they finally are being sort of vindicated, or having to earn some segment of respect, and they've been such a, you know, sort of corollary to the real NFL for so long. I mean, they've been, no one's taken them seriously at all for over a decade. So I get some of this. But, I mean, you're the 3 seed, and you beat the 2 seed, which is not the craziest thing in the history of the world. And the defense gave up 42 points, you know. I think this shall come back to get them next Sunday. It just seems like they feel like they won a Super Bowl, and that, you know, now they've proven it. They've done it. Like, we're legit. But the problem is the biggest test of all is still coming up, and those guys are laying in wait, and they basically had a bye week last week because they systematically destroyed a Titans team that had no business being on the field with them. So I think that a lot of this is playing into Bill Belichick's hands from a sort of mental standpoint, as well as just if they just gave up 42 to Pittsburgh, can Belichick hang 50 on them at home? Because you know he'd love to. Ramsey, Fowler, some of these guys, some of the young guys on that team, that's just how they're wired, Tony. They play with an edge. They play on the edge. And, I think they feel like they need to amp themselves up at times, and that has cost them with penalties and undisciplined stuff in the past. I don't know. I just think Blake Bortles against Patricia and Belichick, there's no way he's putting up 45 points.
See, this is one of the things that people...
It's not happening.
People don't realize this. Bill Belichick, unlike other coaches, goes into every game looking at your team and how you can beat him very specifically and game plans against that. He's better than the others. I don't see them scoring 14. All right, plug your podcast and let's get the dog for a walk.
Hey, you know what? He's actually not up here.
Okay.
Hey, Tone, what's up, man? We're coming back with the Be More Opinionated podcast this week, bmoshow.com. I think we're getting Ray Lewis. Maybe he hears this, and he definitely calls in because, like, I'm putting pressure. Uh-oh, here comes Copper.
Right.
But that's the goal, is getting Ray Lewis on there to talk about him going into the Hall of Fame and some other stuff going on with him and why nobody goes to Ravens games in Baltimore anymore. So I'm going to try to sneak out of here right now, hon, before this doggy goes crazy. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Thank you, Jason. Jason Locken, four boys and girls. There's the bark from the dog. We will come back with news, and Michael has another read. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Things you can do with Squarespace. Create a beautiful website to turn your cool idea into a new website. Showcase your work. Blog or publish content. Sell products and services of all kinds. Promote your physical or online business. Announce an upcoming event or special project and more. I've used Squarespace. We use the Squarespace Builder to create TonyKornheiserShow.com.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, that is something that I'm adding that I don't need to say, and it's really easy. They have a lot of...
Do we do that for free or do we pay?
We pay a yearly service fee. It's not. It's actually not that bad.
Sponsor us.
They have some easy templates to use, and what I find great is that it's... It couldn't be easier to edit something in real time, so you can make a quick change and it's live immediately. So they also help you with analytics that help you grow in real time.
Analytics,
search
Robin
engine
hates them.
Optimization, free and secure hosting to build up your SEO. I recommend you use the name Tony Kornheiser because that really drives it to the top of the Google charts. There's nothing to patch or upgrade ever. 24/7 award-winning customer support. We're encouraging folks to make it. When they say we, that is Squarespace. Make it yourself. Easily create a website by yourself. Make it stand out. Stand out with a beautiful website. All that's so great. The future is coming, so make it brighter with Squarespace. Now, go to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the promo code Tony to save 10% off your first purchase of a website domain.
We should have used the 10% off.
The show is reaching out to a different demographic.
I don't understand any of that.
It's passing you by right before your eyes.
I'm gone.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Josh sends us in. His band is called The Lightweights. We are named this because at this point in our lives, we are just that. We like to think we sound like Blink 182. You can find our music on Bandcamp, iTunes, YouTube, and Spotify. The song is called Black Box. Thank you, Josh. When people like Josh want to send in their music for us to play, which you can hear in its entirety after.
At the end of the show, yes.
How do they do it, Michael?
Send your music into the show. Jingles at TonyCornozzoShow.com. When they actually start the verse, this really does sound like Blink 182 and brings me back to middle school.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. God, you were in middle school for Blink 182.
I have to say that I was not familiar. The young woman who died yesterday.
From the Cranberries.
I was not familiar with the Cranberries.
Oh, you would have loved her voice.
Then Kelleher YouTubed it, and I did know the song. Yes, I knew her voice.
Linger.
I knew that. Yes, Zombie and Linger and stuff like that.
And then the sales skyrocketed by like 900%.
Well, you know, it's...
She had a distinctive voice.
Yes. We are selling something right now. Are we selling anything on our website? Because I'm going to plug the t-shirts.
Yeah, the TK Show winter hats are ready for spring. So those are available for pre-order, and they should be out soon.
And we're also here selling Chatter t-shirts. Nancy probably bought close to 200 t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
We've already sold more than half of them.
How great is that?
And then
I sent it to you this morning, I believe.
So I was talking with our new managerial people the other day, and the theory is that if you take the Chatter t-shirt and you wear it somewhere else, and you, is it called to tag that? Michael, is that what that's called when you take a picture of yourself somewhere else?
Yes, to tag could have a variety of meanings. You could tag Chatter throughout the city. That might get you some publicity you don't want, but right. You could wear the shirt and tag it online. Yes,
and then you would get a free beer.
Oh wow!
That's the promo.
Oh, that's
I'm
nice.
Probably giving away secrets that I shouldn't give away, but that's what I was told. Anyway, you have some news.
I do indeed, Mr. Tony, and we will start off with some good news for you. That 3-game losing streak by the Bearcats.
Oh, did we
is
win?
Over.
Who'd we Yay. Beat?
Beat the Great Danes of Albany last night.
We never beat them. Yes. That's a great win for us.
14-game series. Losing streak that snapped.
We never beat them or Vermont. That's a great win for us. But we got crushed by Hartford. I was disheartened.
Yeah. Willie Rodriguez scored 20 points. J.C. Schau had 11 points and 6 rebounds and 5 assists. So, yes, that puts Binghamton at 1-3. That's first win in the American East. Above Maine.
We lost to Maine and New Hampshire.
Right, right.
We lost to New
Hampshire.
Now,
can't lose to upper
the
New
next
England.
One, Stony Thursday Brook? Night, Stony Brook.
Whoa.
Where?
Where is it? That's at Stony Brook.
That's an L.
But that Stony Brook's not that good this year. They're only 7-11, 2-2.
I hate Stony Brook.
Yeah, I know.
I hate them.
I know. I'm trying to talk you into a win.
I hate them. I hope we win.
Yes.
I hope we win, and I'll dance on their graves.
Not such a good night for the Wizards. They lose at home to the Milwaukee Bucks. The Greek Freak with 27 points and 20 rebounds, 104-95.
They led by about 20 at one point in that game, didn't they?
They
stink.
They're maddening. No. They really are maddening.
This is driving some of the cheerleader columnists crazy because you
can't get
behind
them. Right.
By the way, this is an interesting thing about them. Who's the running back? Le'Veon Bell created a sensation last week.
He's not playing for the Wizards.
I know, but when he talked about, I'll just retire.
Might be after
I'll
last
just
week.
Retire. And everyone went into a death spiral about this in Pittsburgh. Marcin Gortat talks every single day about leaving.
I'm going to play for the Magic.
Yeah. And nobody seems to care. Nobody seems to care. Because this team is two people and two people only.
Right.
And when one of those two people, as he does often, shoots 7 for 27, they can't win.
That's correct.
You know, they're not nearly as good as some people would have you believe. They're just not. They're fine.
They're lovely people, and they don't bring guns into the locker room. And so can we just be positive
about them? Wow, that's the bar for Washington sports at this point.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. What do you think of them?
I think they are maddening and inconsistent, and I think if they are...
They paid Otto Porter $400
Just say it, they're straight
dollars.
Garbage.
If this, I don't think they're straight garbage, but they are so far from being in the conversation in the East because of Boston and because of Cleveland. And this was supposed to be the year that they entered that. That
right,
Porter was a bigger deal. That
Otto Porter goes many games, basically. Now, he's a max player and a starter and goes many games at about 8 points.
He's easy. If you're a max player, you can't be invisible for as
That's
long.
Right.
Like when does the ball go through him? And I get it, he's the third guy, but like you can't just evaporate and not be seen.
I'm hard on John Wall, but he's out there all the time.
Yeah.
He's got the ball in his hands. He's trying to make something happen.
Correct.
And Otto Porter goes stretches, and you don't even know
and,
he's there.
And when Walsh shoots, has a bad shooting game, it's not that, you know, the guys shoot poorly in the NBA and can still impact games. And I
absolutely.
Think John Wall is one of those guys.
Absolutely.
You cannot disappear. Just disappear.
So, and now he's getting criticism from his own coach.
Yeah.
From Scott Brooks. That doesn't happen, kids. That doesn't happen. That is the precursor of something important.
I would just say that, you know, what is your job as a coach to know how each of your individual players will respond to
public criticism?
Or not. Like, he is deciding the button I am going to press here is this one, and this has to be the one that works. So we'll see.
And then that weird spot. I mean, I know the playoffs are very far away.
Very far away.
But they're now in fifth place, and they're in that weird sort of like, if they go on a losing streak, they could find themselves.
But they won't. But
you don't think they won't?
No, they won't.
Up and they go up and they go down?
They're at solidly top four.
Okay. And they also have that habit of, because they're maddening because they lose these games at home to
That's
teams
right.
that they shouldn't lose to, and then they'll go beat somebody that you're like, oh, wow, well, maybe they're okay.
That's right.
College basketball.
Oh, I watched a lot of this.
I did too.
I was going all around the dial last night, basically waiting for Golden State. And
I wasn't
Cleveland,
waiting for that.
And I went all around the dial.
Cleveland
I even watched Bucknell beat Colgate on the road.
Did you watch any of the UConn women?
That
was a better game than I thought it would be.
That was a very
Texas,
close game.
Right?
That came all the way down to the end at Texas.
Yeah.
But this is the other thing. You can be critical if you want and say there's no depth in women's basketball.
That's true,
but I don't care about that. Gino Auriemma will go anywhere and play anybody.
Yes. Anybody.
Anybody.
Sure. Take us on. Yeah.
He will.
And he generally wins those games.
He does not get enough credit
for doing that.
He's not protective.
Correct.
He's not. He's ambitious. He's not protective. I like Gino Auriemma.
1-point loss for Maryland. I did not watch this
game.
Okay.
You guys,
so
this is a big deal.
Yeah, you guys
it's a
said,
big deal.
This is a big deal. Let me set this up. Maryland is leading at the half by 10 at Michigan. Maryland is, you know, it goes. Michigan comes back. Of course, they come back. Maryland gets a 3-point shot from Herder.
And just a beautiful play.
They win the game.
They win the game.
There's 2.5 seconds left.
There's 3.2
seconds 3.2 left.
Seconds left.
And for those of you people who remember the greatest single play all time in college 2. Basketball,
2.1 seconds left.
Which is Duke, Kentucky, the Leitner shot.
Some of us in this room were there.
Some of us were there. So I was there.
I was on campus.
All right. So at this moment in time,
perhaps a couple beers.
Michigan is going to inbound the ball. They have very little time. Mark Turgeon does not put anyone on the inbounder.
Since
what are you kidding me?
It's since Grant Hill stood on the baseline in Philadelphia
alone
at the Spectrum alone and
throwing
was
throwing down to my side of the
to
court
to see able to see clearly. A 6'11" target, and wind up ever since that 25, approaching 26 years ago, you guard the inbounder. You put a 7-footer
to just
and
bother
just
him.
Bother him and distract him. They had a clear shot. The kid
wound
threw
it
up
60 feet down the court
and
hit somebody on the right hand side. That kid goes to the basket, gets tripped, makes two foul shots. Maryland loses that. And I like Mark Turgeon. That is 100% on Mark Turgeon, right?
I totally agree. 100. And I think it now, here's the dangerous part, because Maryland is playing injured, and Justin Jackson, who probably should be their best player, is out for the year.
And I like
they
Maryland.
They are thinner. And I like Mark Turgeon, too. The fan base at Maryland is not sold on Mark Turgeon. And
really?
We're getting in. If you went through, seriously, I've been gauging my Maryland friends. And some of them are, first of all, they have an inflated sense of what they should be. Well, we should be a Sweet 16 team every year. Well, there's only 16 programs that can say that, and that it doesn't work that way. However, we're getting into dangerous territory where they don't feel like his teams get better over the course of the season, and they don't feel like in late game situations that they execute well.
This
and
would
I think
have been such
a
big win. Tori, you have your hand up.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So Mark Turgeon may not be coach of the year, but he's been around the block a few times.
Yes.
Right?
And
how
he was tutored by a Hall of Fame coach, Larry Brown.
Yeah. So somebody at that level who's been around as long as he has, how does he make a mistake like that?
I don't know.
Well,
I don't
mean,
know.
It's clearly a philosophical
that
thing.
Was strategic on his part. That was deliberate.
How is that strategic rather than...
Well, no, what I'm saying is... That
he made
that choice.
He made a choice
to not put somebody on the ball, which I You're watching it like I'm watching it. I'm going, whoa, there's nobody on the ball.
That's the first thing you think. That's the first thing you think.
And because I saw the Grand Hill to Leitner, I'm conditioned to say, what do you mean there's nobody
on the
ball?
You're not an exclusive club of having information about the Grand Hill play. I mean, everybody in America knows.
And I don't think you need to know the Grand Hill play. Again, I know nothing about basketball, but I would think you want to stop them from doing that.
The argument is, well, if we don't guard the inbounder who can't who can't score, then we have 5-on-4 at the other end. It's been proven to not work many times. Yeah.
Including last night.
Yes. Didn't work.
Go to the Duke game.
Duke beat Miami at Miami.
Yeah, good win.
Yes.
Duke was down significantly.
They're down 13 in the middle of the second.
83-75.
And Duke got scoring from a kid I didn't even know.
Wendell Clark?
Gary Trent Jr. Didn't even know him.
Yeah.
Didn't know who he was.
Yeah, 30 points for Gary Trent Jr.
Didn't know who he was. Duke's got
16 and 2.
It's ridiculous.
Duke's got like 8 or 9 guys who are really good.
Not that many, but yes, they have. They're deep. They're good. They should be good. I mean, they're a little bit maddening right now because they don't. They don't defend consistently, and that, you know, with these teams of all one and dones, that's going to be true. They don't develop defensively, I think. But man, do they have weapons!
They go 30-9 late in the game.
Yep,
and
that's a good Miami team.
Yeah, they beat Jim Laranjaga.
Yes.
Sad news for Pittsburgh fans on the heels of the Steelers' loss. Now the Pirates have traded 5-time All-Star Andrew McCutchen to the Giants. He joins Evan Longoria, who was sent there earlier, right?
Well, yes. So we have, because Barry wrote The Grind, Barry is our baseball expert. The Pittsburgh Pirates are shedding their better players. Gerrit Cole, who's a very good pitcher,
yeah, sent to the Astros,
just
right?
went to the... Don't make that sound like exile.
No.
He got sent
no,
to...
No, no.
You know, Gerrit Cole,
the world champion.
Gerrit Cole
world champion
walks right in as the two or the three.
Yeah, yeah.
He's really, really good. Andrew McCutchen, who had a down year 2 years ago, was okay last year. He goes to the Giants. The Giants... What's going on?
Well, I mean, to me, this is...
This hurts the Nats.
I don't think so, because the Giants, that's fine. They have made some significant moves. They have, coming off a disastrous season in which their old, slow, crumbling core is kind of exposed. They won those world titles, and they cannot be taken away from them, and they were built largely with... homegrown people, and then some spare parts that they really hit on, and Cody Ross and people like that. I think, with Longoria, a player who most people would tell you is in decline. McCutchen, you said he had a bounce back year. They only have him for 1 year.
Okay,
he's, I would say, on overall arc is in decline, and goes to a ballpark which is, you know, it isn't Pittsburgh, a nice little bandbox where you can. He's hit 20 homers, I think, 8 consecutive years. That's not going to happen in San Francisco. I don't think when the Giants looked at themselves, I don't know how they thought, well, we're just an Andrew McCutchen and an Evan Longoria away from contending after a nearly 100-loss season, the worst in franchise history. This impacts the Nationals not at all,
okay.
I don't think.
Then I feel better about that. Okay. Got anything else, or is that it?
I have a sad story, and I have sort of an interesting story, fun story.
What is your interesting story?
It's about the people on the cruise ship that went into the cyclone bomb.
Oh boy!
Let's do that.
Yes. So what was supposed to be a relaxing New Year's cruise to the sunny Bahamas turned out to be somewhat of a nightmare, as this Norwegian cruise liner was scheduled to come back right in the middle of the cyclone bomb.
So Norwegian, were they bringing people to live here? Because we like people.
Yes, yes. I think that's an actually
beautiful people.
Yeah, it's an immigration cruise ship. I think that's how they referred to them. Said one of the passengers, "It was the scariest thing I've ever experienced. The waves were over 40 feet, and it was continuous. Children crying, people seasick, vomiting all over the boat."
This is why I don't go on cruises.
Why would you? And what the people are complaining is, they're like, you knew it was coming. It was forecast for a week, and you took us straight into the middle of this bloody storm. So people have complained about
it. Tough it out, people.
Well, people have complained about it, and all that they received, they want some sort of refund. And what Norwegian Cruise
is... We don't get refunds.
No. They have said, here's a $500 credit toward a future cruise.
Yeah.
Does that seem the way to go?
I'm not getting back on the boat.
No. Yeah. Why would you ever get back on a boat?
Do you take cruises?
Oh, my God, no.
I don't take cruises. Tori, you don't take cruises?
No, sir.
Michael, do you want to ever take a cruise?
No, that sounds like my personal nightmare.
Have you...
I mean, it's just a petri dish of terrible things going on.
And they feed you, like, did you ever read this?
You go into food coma.
Yeah. And then nonstop food and alcohol, like for a week.
And you can't get off.
Can't get off.
You know, the second thing worse than cruises is people who will hold parties on boats. I never go to anybody's party that is on a boat because you can't get off.
I don't want to be on a boat.
Yeah, you're trapped.
It's a little stifling.
Boats are...
Yeah. So I've seen some of the video of the waves. I mean, if you were on this boat, you're thinking, well, this is it.
But was this a ginormous cruise ship?
Yeah.
Because 40 feet might not be.
So this is 4,000. Your fun story?
Yeah, that was the fun story.
All right, good. We're done. We will come back with Old Guy Radio.
That's right.
I'm getting progressively worse here. I'm
you
Tony Kornheiser.
Whiskey.
Yeah. You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Why would we play this song to get that reaction from Tori for Old Guy Radio? Love Will Keep Us Together. Why would we play this song, which is a marginal song, in terms of critical commentary about The Captain and Tennille? They're a second-rate Sonny and Cher.
Oh, yes.
They're not terrible, but they're a second-rate Sonny and Cher. Nigel, explain why we picked this date.
Well, in terms of critical commentary with the song, do you know who wrote this song originally? This is a cover version.
I would say probably Sonny Bono wrote it.
Neil Sedaka.
Okay.
Neil
Sedaka. It has his bounce to it.
Right. We are playing this song because on this day in 2014, the captain, Daryl Dragon, and Catherine Antoinette Tony Tennille filed for divorce.
Yeah.
It was actually Tony Tennille filed for divorce.
So we should commemorate that.
What was their greatest moment in their singing careers? I think we've done this trivia on this show before.
Their greatest moment?
The greatest moment, or let's say
the
most covered moment of their singing career.
What?
They were asked to perform in front of the Queen of England. And they sang Muskrat Love.
It's a terrible song.
Not really appropriate to be singing in front of the Queen.
No, Muskrat Love.
We asked them to play in front of our Queen.
Yes, you did.
I think she may have asked.
Oh, that's not good.
The people around
her. I love coming here to feel young.
Yeah.
It's good for you. Rejuvenating.
It's so good for you.
Love will keep us together.
So as long as you're here, you need to earn your keep. You were in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Just tell me what it's like in the stadium.
So,
because it's got to be so depressing after they kick the field goal.
And I will say, yes, it was. And it fits into, if you are, I know we've talked about it a lot from the Marcus Williams angle, but at that point, it so fit into the fabric of the Vikings. That city, that state has been almost shielded against the idea that, oh my God, we have a good team. And the Super Bowl is here.
It's here.
And Carson Wentz is out. And if we can just get... Oh, we can't even think about it because they have Drew Pearson in the Hail Mary in 75. And they have Gary Anderson missing for the first time ever. And they have Blair Walsh shanking a 27-yarder. And they have Brett Favre throwing a pick late. And the Randall Cunningham team. They have a Cubs and Red Sox-like angst built in there. And this was... It was going to be... the next chapter. Now, the difference is that these people are, they're just nice. And
they're almost Canadian.
They are nice. Very close
Will
to
Bond
being
hates them.
Canadian.
Will Bond
That's fine.
Well,
he can't. But after no one left, and that building, and I, you know, the week before I was in Atlanta at their new building, and so I'm here in this new building. I got a great tour of it from the Viking COO beforehand. It is beautiful, and they make it with this skull chant almost a rabid college-like or international soccer-like crowd, and it is loud. But no one left. No one left. Not saying that anybody had a lot of optimism, but people were in their seats, and you looked around, and if there were 66,612 people there at the start of the game, there were 66,612 people there with 10 seconds left, and it just felt like the franchise's fortune flipped.
People will say, what is the most amazing play? And a lot of people, and Wilbon will do this, they'll talk about the immaculate reception. No, you have your hand up. You would say that.
I was there.
Okay.
You were
there. That's,
wow.
So that's great.
I was too.
That's a freakish. that's a freakish play. That's a bounce. That's a strange thing. This, that can happen. This can't happen.
Can't happen.
No. This can't happen. That is what is the most amazing thing about this. You have time to guard against this. And again, I said this earlier in the show, they're not trying to score. So
Zimmer and Keenum both said they saw Diggs catch it and they were like, get out of bounds.
That's right.
That's what we're trying to
they're
do.
They're playing for the next play.
Right. Well, they're playing for the field goal.
That's the next play.
Exactly. That's right.
They're too far away. It's not a Hail Mary.
It was not.
You can talk about all the Hail Marys you want. This is not that. This cannot happen.
Can't happen. Cannot happen. But I also think Diggs, in making the catch and then when Williams whiffs on him, steadying himself by putting his left hand. I mean, he made a great play.
He did.
And then it's like, oh my God, that's 34 yards ahead of me and nothing in between. I mean, and I was saying to Nigel before the show, like, it's hard to process and remember what it's like in the moment when you're there. And it's almost like you have this weird distance from it because now I've seen it so many times, just like everybody else has. But in terms of loud, resonating, I don't know when I've been in a place that was louder and more. It's just unbelievable.
But Barry, when the ball was in the air, did it, because the time slows down.
So
did it even occur to you catch it?
So in
oh, catch it. He could catch it. He can't get to the end zone.
But the other thing you see, so just the way that
it depends on where you're
sitting.
The way
the press box is oriented, and it's a lower press box than most modern press boxes. The play was coming towards us. We were in that corner where he ended up scoring. So it was the perfect place to see it from. And the thing you notice when the ball's in the air, and you're right, it does slow down. And you say, and Dan Wetzel, my friend from Yahoo Sports, was to my left, and you say, oh, my God, because you see Williams going, and then you see very clearly there's no one behind him. And if Williams doesn't make the play, he's going to score.
I've seen too many games and I'm too old. I never do this. I sat in my house and three different times went, oh, my God, that cannot happen.
I think I said, oh, my God, when
three times,
probably five times between the catch and when he crossed. And then, I mean, and this is it's about me. Like, then you're like, well, I'm dead on deadline. I have to file at the moment.
I can't enjoy this.
Like, this thing just fundamentally changed. Like, that's terrible. It was terrible.
So I'm glad. So you were there. So that'll be like
that goes down.
I have Leighton and I have Flutie.
Right.
I mean, I was there. You have
immaculate reception.
Yeah,
but the difference, to your point, the immaculate reception, first of all, it was horrible weather, sleeting, snowing, right? By that stage of the game, everyone was really drunk. And my sister never should have let me drink that much at that game. That was a problem.
That too.
But you didn't see it happen. You barely realized Franco Harris had the ball.
You had no idea what happened.
But now, having seen it 10,000 times, we all know it absolutely perfectly.
So that's good that you had that. I was, I said this before, I have a cold. It is breaking up a little bit. I was able to sleep about 5 hours last night, where I only had one the night before. It sounds probably worse than it is, and I think it'll be gone in a little while. And I was thinking, how did I get it? And it occurred to me that jury duty, you're penned up with 200 different people, and everything you do is designed to keep you close to other people as you walk in lines and sit next to them. And maybe that was it, because it's really
next time awful. You wear a mask.
It's awful. You have a cold, too.
I have, and I haven't been able to
I don't have
it.
The flu.
Yeah.
It's not the flu, because it's concentrated in my head and my nose.
I've got some version of what you have. I don't think it's as bad as you, but it's going rapid.
So I have to stay away from Bootsy.
Yeah,
you don't want to,
No, you don't want
to. So do you use hand sanitizer ever?
I wash my hands. No,
I'm
I don't
just
care.
Saying, like, in the newsroom at PTI, is there hand sanitizer out there?
You know, there's a pretty good school of thought, though, that says don't use those, because people overdo it, and then they lower their immune systems.
I have to hear this in my house. I have to hear, you need to wash your hands and wash your hands and wash your hands. I'm being told this by someone who's watching the Hallmark Channel. Why?
No, I'm just wondering, because you're around a lot of people throughout the day, so
I'm older than they are. A lot Let them wash their hands.
I think people get too obsessive about the hand sanitizer. Yeah.
But I appreciate that Bootsy.
I'm not saying drink the hand sanitizer. No, I'm just saying
these are two at-risk groups: the elderly and the babies. So
it's great to have a reason to keep the boy away from you.
Yeah, so and I
another
that.
One.
I understand that. I don't know how can. If everybody was always contagious, we'd all be ill all the time. So I don't know. So that's.
So Liz called you before you went to PTI yesterday and
had me gargle with salt water.
She was trying to assess your level of illness so she could have another reason to keep the boy home.
Well, I don't want Bootsy to get sick from me. I mean, I certainly don't want that. And this, I was also watching TV yesterday about people with colds and flus and whatever. Bootsy's too young to get a flu shot, right?
He is.
That's what I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is the cutoff? It's about a year?
I should probably know that.
Because they were inoculating babies on TV.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I didn't know how old it was.
What were you watching? Okay, first of all, there should be a limit on how much time we can talk about colds on this show.
I'll stop. Okay. I'll stop. I mean, and the other thing is, and I said this before, I'm not going to deal with it now. The dog, my dog, is just too slow.
I have an idea for that. What? Get a pole, and in the end of the pole, have a rabbit.
Yeah,
and hold it out in front of her while you walk. Or tie it on the back of her head, you know, and it would stick out in front of her. Like greyhounds chasing the bunny on the track. Now that she's tasted blood.
Tie it on the back of her head.
Yeah, there you
stick.
Go.
You, whose job is that? all right, there's...
I'd come over for that.
Is there anything else we need to talk about? Would you like... Is there something you'd like to talk about?
I declared to my family yesterday because my husband and my children, despite everything I warned them about, are getting sucked into the caps... fever again.
Oh.
Right?
This is their
and
year.
I cannot turn to Dr. Mr. Tony to cure that ailment.
I cannot watch them go through this again. So I said I will continue to go to regular season games with them. If they get into the playoffs, I will go to a game. I will go by myself. I will not sit with them. I will not talk to them for 24 hours before, during, and after the game.
So here's the problem with that. And Tony will not even acknowledge that any of this is true or matters at all. But this is a different iteration of this team. The last 2 years, they were supposed to be like this.
Right.
And it was supposed to, you know, and that's why it was so crushing when they lost twice to Pittsburgh. this year's team was not supposed, it was supposed to be in a rebuilding year. Right. And guess what? They've rebuilt. They're second in the conference. They're first in their division. And it's setting up for
I actually
spring.
Think the Caps and maybe all Washington teams should declare up front before the season starts. Even if we have a good year, we will not go into the playoffs because it's too heartbreaking. Just play the regular season. We'll be fine.
I thought about this the other day. I thought about my kid who is 31 years old, and he's never seen the Redskins go deep into the playoffs.
Do you know?
Never seen it.
I've seen a lot of wild card losses, so there's something there.
A few of those.
Yeah. And now so people in Jacksonville see it, and people in Minnesota, you know.
Every NFC team has made two appearances in the NFC Championship game since the last time Washington or Dallas has.
Wow.
So like every I mean that's
didn't think about Dallas.
And those are flagship NFL franchises, right? Yeah. They're supposed to be. But your generation is an amazing generation, cuz my generation is the guys who my friends who grew up here they were 16 and 17 at RFK Stadium when the stands were bouncing and Rigo was running that. Yeah. That's
he missed all of that.
We just have that on YouTube.
He's never seen the Wizards play an important game in the playoffs. Now you've seen the Nats play important.
I saw a great game six.
Yeah, that was when John Wall won the championship by himself.
Okay. So the shift for my generation is I'm less concerned about the football team than I am about the hockey, basketball, and baseball team. And the baseball has definitely taken over my age group, and that's the hardest reality.
Which I think is right.
You in your lifetime of cognition, you've never seen a Washington team in a league championship.
Castles?
The Castles.
No, not even a conference championship.
A conference championship.
Yeah, right.
That's right. I've
never seen it.
But this is our year.
Well, if you talk to Sands, or text with Sands, you know, he's trying to raise his kids as Washington sports fans. Now he's doing it from afar.
Yeah.
But why? What's the buy-in?
My kids now resent me because growing up, they wouldn't let me have them root for Pittsburgh teams. And they now, because they are just first world problem kids, are resentful that I didn't make them Pittsburgh fans instead of Washington fans.
I would never raise my daughter a Boston fan because I grew up. She's growing up here.
Yeah.
Like that's.
Wilbon insists.
Chicago, right?
Yeah. I mean,
Think about it. If you grew up in Boston, say you're 5 years old in like 2000, your whole life has been championships and championship games.
There were a couple of great interviews with in 2007 when the Red Sox were going for their second world championship, like interviews with like 2-year-olds. hey, you haven't had a championship in your lifetime. How have you been able to get through this?
Right.
It's pretty good stuff.
All right, get me out of here. I'm dying. we'll have.
Yes, we have a mailbag theme about my incompetence coming up next.
Fantastic. Yes. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Well, of all the good men gone, how did Nigel get so bad?
Hey.
Block and birth announcements. It can't get more hashtag sad. Gives me the blue apron when it should be the Harry's ring.
Well.
He can't stop the purple line or anticipate my every need. Set it to zero. He's never born to zero and I'm done with the light. Something's gotta be done and it's gotta be fast and I gotta save me from this plight. Set it to zero. Reset the board to zero. Nigel's reaching new heights. And he's got a good friend. And I got an idea. I told Reginald he'll do it right. He'll do it right.
Kirsten Ohnstedt, is yes. that did she write it herself, or is it the incomparable Robert Berg who wrote it?
No, I think she wrote this.
It's spectacular.
It's just great.
Kirsten is just
Bonnie and I will yeah. reset that.
That's Bonnie Tyler.
Zero.
Yeah.
Yes.
Before we get to the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Jason Lockenfour of CBS Sports for coming on the show. Thank our sponsors today, SeatGeek and Squarespace, and thank Michael for such good reads. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show. And wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play, if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We have this from Neil in Rockville. You do realize, don't you, that what you interpret as affection towards you by a smile from Bootsy is most likely just gas.
Well,
I honestly think that when he comes over, he knows I'm not going to hold him. He knows I'm going to just poke at him
right.
and let him hold my hand. And then he smiles at me. Now, it is true that he's always being held by Michael or Liz, but he is nonetheless smiling, in even if it's in their direction. It looks like it's me.
He is watching PTI while taking a bottle on many afternoons.
Okay,
so we're trying to get him used to your voice.
That would be great. And tell him to disregard Wilbon.
Grandpa Wilbon.
David Kincannon in Denver, Colorado. On Monday, Chris Saliza, Eat It, gave the show its title when he said that not all heroes wear capes. In context, this is a nonsense statement since it's most long-time listeners would know you have indeed worn a cape. I have worn a cape.
That is true.
By the way, in the previous segment when I said that Michael had never experienced like even a conference or league champ, that's not true. In 1998, the Capitals did go to the Stanley Cup Finals, where they were out as soon as you could be out, in four.
Yes.
As soon as you could be out. Whoa, this is long. Rob in Reston, I made my first pilgrimage to Chatter today. Huge treat to see the show live, eat a great breakfast at Chatter, and hand you your patch for use during your next visit to Kabul. That was that beautiful patch with the Afghan flag and the American flag.
It
says
wow.
Dr. Tony and all of that. I wasn't expecting the full Mr. Tony experience when I set out on the Metro this morning, but I got it. This was yesterday. Setting out at 5:30, I rode the Silver Line to Metro Center. All went well. No fires. No one else on the train. Very pleasant. At Metro Center, I boarded the Red Line to Chatter. I should have known better. We never moved. Shortly thereafter, everyone was ordered off the train because of technical difficulties. I abandoned Metro in the hopes of finding a cab. I emerged at street level to see multiple firefighters carrying hoses and equipment down into the Metro. Never a good sign. No cabs, and I'm uber-phobic, so I decided I'd walk to the next station, pick the train up there. I arrived at Farragut North to learn of the derailment mentioned during the show. No trains moving. Continued north, arriving at DuPont Circle, just as everyone from the southbound trains emerged and lined up for cabs. Finally found a cab halfway to Woodley Park Station. And it was cold yesterday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, it was much colder than today.
Yes.
Driver turned out to be a fan of yours from the radio days. I updated him on your purchase of Chatter and the podcast, so hopefully you'll have gained a new listener. On the way up Connecticut Avenue, we passed Calvert Woodley Liquor. I took a picture. I arrived at Chatter just as the show started. I had a fantastic time. Staff was great. Show was great. And you pushed through despite being under the weather. So great. The way home was less eventful, but it did involve a walk from the DuPont Circle Metro Station to Farragut West. On the way down 19th Street, I passed the Palm and took another picture. Truly a Mr. Tony experience.
Wow.
That lovely.
Wow.
That's really
committed.
Lovely.
Committed.
It's like the Seinfeld tours they have in New York.
Cameron in Austin, Texas. Sorry to hear of your discomfort. If it's any consolation, you still sounded better than Saliza. As a fellow broadcaster, I have a sovereign solution to your boggle. Place several cough drops into a bottle of water. They'll dissolve on their own. No heating is required, although shaking the bottle speeds up the process. Then drink. Then every drink of water will cool and soothe your throat. Good luck tomorrow. Please tell Michael the forecast today, 59 and sunny, and tomorrow we're expecting upper 20s and snow. Total city shutdown.
Oof.
Texas.
Wow.
Yeah, we're supposed to get some snow tonight, right?
Really?
Up to 2 inches?
Yeah, we're supposed to.
2 inches. No. Sheena Parveen was climbing the ladder to mount snow.
Panic now.
Yeah. Trevor Bast from Victoria, British Columbia in Canada. Has it ever occurred to you, or have I missed it on the show, that the obvious title for Jeff's segment should be bet the matches. Oh, Ma, Jeff Ma, bet the matches. Yeah. Full disclosure, I do have a rival podcast.
Or Ma Says.
Ma Says. Oh, that's better. Yeah, Left Coast Leafs from Victoria, British Columbia. The joy your podcast gives me gave me an inspiration to believe anyone could do this. Besides talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs, we drink and review a bomber of craft beer each episode, kind of like your monkey segment. I've included a recent restaurant receipt. What does a bomber mean?
I think it's like a growler.
Is that a size? Like a growler, yeah. Is that a size of beer?
That's
in
the most Canadian thing ever.
It's a container.
Is that right?
I think
that's right.
Let me find something short here. Yes. This is from Cameron Stevens. Thanks for the shout-out, Gary. Hashtag sad from the people of Australia. P.S. No licorice for you. If you're out on your bike time, everyone, as always, do wear white. And thank you for coming as ever here.
Yay.
You got to harvest your nuts right now, man.
Side by side.
can't shake my confidence. I know you.